Good to be with you this morning. Having been out of town the last couple of weeks, I appreciate those who were preaching in my absence. Seth on the first Sunday and Brother Bob last Sunday. I appreciate those men speaking and doing that good work. And it's good to be back with you today, and I hope that our message from God's Word will encourage us. What do you want to accomplish in your life before you pass away? What do you want to get done? What goals do you have? What aspirations do you have? In the early 2000s, we were given an expression, a bucket list. A movie was made out of that. A person's bucket list is a list of things that a person wants to accomplish in life before he or she dies. And if you have several things in that bucket list, you scratch them off as you get them accomplished. Sometimes it's places that people want to go. I want to go see the Grand Canyon. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to take a cruise in Alaska. I want to travel around the world. Sometimes it's a place that people want to go. Sometimes it's a particular activity that they have always wanted to engage in, or a hobby. I want to become a pilot. I want to ride in a hot air balloon. I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how to do that. What do you want to do before you die? What do I want to do before I die? Turn with me to Psalm 39 this morning. We're going to be reminded of a spiritual bucket list. Do you have a spiritual bucket list? There's nothing wrong with going to see the Grand Canyon in Hawaii. There's nothing wrong with becoming a pilot. I wouldn't mind doing that myself. I thought living near the Springfield Airport, within just a mile or so from it, I would become one in the 22 years that I lived there, but I never got around to doing that. I wanted to do that because my father was a pilot for a few years. I just enjoy flying. I don't know if I'll get that one or not. Nothing wrong with those kinds of goals and aspirations. It might be a particular job. It might be a degree. It might be a certain house that you want or a car that you've always wanted to own. Nothing wrong with those things. But more importantly, we need to be thinking about our right relationship with God. Is that on our radar? That's what's going to matter in eternity, not what particular sites that I've been able to see or what things I've been able to own, but my relationship with God. I want to talk a little bit this morning about Psalm 39. And we know what this psalm is about by looking at the very last words. In this particular psalm, if you will look at the very last words, that tells you what this psalm is about. It tells you where he's headed with this. This particular psalm attributed to David, he lets you know where he's headed in this psalm by the very last verse, which says, "Before I go from here and be no more." Everything said before that are things that he's wanting to accomplish in life before he goes from here, from this life, and is no more. So as I begin to read Psalm 39, I begin to realize, okay, these are some things that I need to do before I die. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. It's good to see some of our young people here today. I'm glad that you're here. We have young parents and young people. That lets me know, at least in part, that you have some spiritual interest in life. A lot of young people today, they don't have a spiritual bucket list. They're just concerned about the things of this life. So I'm glad to see you this morning. But what do we want to get done before we go from here and be no more? What do we want to accomplish? Now, Don had a good prayer this morning right before the adult Bible class, and he mentioned two of my 6 points. You might as well come up here and just finish the sermon. I got to thinking, man, if he doesn't stop praying, he's going to have the whole sermon covered. But Don already covered two, so you'll be reminded of those in just a minute in his good prayer this morning. Let's read Psalm 39 together and let's learn what we need to be doing before we pass from this life. Psalm 39, let's read the first 3 verses. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb, that is, did not speak. I did not speak with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. And what he spake when he opened up his mouth would be the words beginning in verse 4 that we'll read here in just a minute. Before I go from here and be no more, before I die, I want to learn self-control. You stop and think about that. The magnitude of what that means for our lives. Before we die, let's get that one crossed off the list. I've learned to control myself. Now, the particular thing that he mentions here is the tongue, but you stop and think about how valuable that is in every aspect of our life, to be in control of our senses. And what that would accomplish for us, that the magnitude of that, the foundational principle of that, that if we get up every day and we're literally in control of ourselves every day, you stop and think about how that would change our lives. If you don't get anything accomplished in life, get that one down. I'm in control of my life. Now, he mentions here the tongue. But we know that the tongue is not the only thing. What about controlling our thoughts? What about controlling what we look at? What about controlling what we say? I want to take heed to my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. Before I go from here and be no more, that's what I want to do, David says. Wow. What a great thing that is. When you think about the problems that are caused among individuals, the sin that is caused when we're not in control, the problems that are caused in home and family and marriage when we're not in control, when we won't control ourselves, the problems that have been caused by a tongue that is not controlled and eyes that are not controlled and thoughts that are not controlled and ears that are not controlled. That I sin not with my tongue. What a great goal that is. And that's what I want. And I hope that we all want that. That's what Paul preached of to Felix in Acts 24 and verse 25. Righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. What a great 3-point sermon. Out of all the things that Paul could have addressed before Felix, I want to talk about you need to be right. You need to control yourself. And you need to be ready for judgment to come. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23, it is a fruit of the Spirit. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 6, it is that which we are to add to our faith. Turn with me to James chapter 3. I want to impress upon us not only the matter of self-control, but self-control with the tongue. And why that is so important, that's the one thing that David singles out here, that I might, out of all the ways that he wanted to take heed to, that I would not sin with my tongue. Notice how fundamental this is when we turn to James chapter 3. James says, now this is very important. If you can control your tongue, James says, you can control the entire body. Somebody says, well, I have a problem with what I look at. Okay. I have a problem with what I put in my body. Okay. I have a problem with where I go, certain places that I shouldn't go. Okay. James says, if you can control your tongue, if your mind is such that you control those words that are coming out of your mouth, that same mind is going to harness other things in your life. Be not many teachers, James 3:1. My brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. For in many things we all stumble. If any man stumbles not in word, the same is a perfect or complete man, able to bridle the whole body also. You underscore that in your Bible, the magnitude of that principle. If you find someone that is not in control of their mouth, they're probably not in control of their thoughts and how they use other parts of their body. But you control your tongue. You control that. You harness that. You put the brakes on that before those words come out. You're going to be in control of other faculties in your body as well. That's a great thing to know, isn't it? A complete man. That's a very big principle. But before we die, we need to learn self-control. And before we die, verse 1, we need to learn that we're going to take heed to our ways. How am I living? Underscore that in your Bible, to take heed to my ways. How I'm living right now. Am I right with God right now or not? Young people, it's great that you're making good grades in school and you're in clubs and you're doing special things and you might be going on to college here before too long or already in college and have done well doing that. All of those things are fine, but that is not important in the long run. That has nothing to do with eternity. That has nothing to do with going to heaven. That has nothing to do with being right with God. But you get your ways right with God, and now you have something. Before we die, we need to learn self-control. Turn with me to verses 4 through 6. David goes on to say that when he did open his mouth, he said this, Jehovah, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as hand breadths, just the width of your hand, just a few inches there. That's how long your life is, just like a few inches. And my lifetime is as nothing before thee. Surely every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. Surely every man walks in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heaps up riches and knows not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what I wait for, my hope is in thee. Before I die, I want to realize how brief life is. People don't think about that. They're running fast and furious, especially the young ones. Oh, I got all the time in the world. If we could get this concept down even in our youth, and then move upon it as our scripture reading in Abraham had in Psalm 90, that teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. that we may get a heart of wisdom, that we may wake up and realize I've got to obey the gospel and I've got to live the faithful Christian life. I've got just a limited time here. And a young person says, well, wait a minute. I've got all kinds of time. Have you not heard about young people dying? Have you not heard about that? Young people die all the time. Death is not just for the elderly. We have all kinds of automobile accidents in Clarksville almost on a weekly basis, and typically it involves a young person. Boom! Gone. Young people have health conditions that people don't realize. You ever heard of young athletes just going like that on the football field? Well, wait a minute. He's 16, 17, 18 years old. He's an athlete. Boom! Gone. You ever heard of that? We've got to realize how brief life is, that we might get a heart of wisdom. And not just becoming a Christian, but living faithfully each and every day and having better goals in life and better ambitions in life that deal with heavenly things. More spiritually minded, more our minds set on things that are above. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We just get one life. And we've got to wake up and get busy being right with God. Before we go from here and be no more, it would be really good if we realized how brief life is. And we don't play around. We don't make bad choices. We don't procrastinate and put off what is important. And we don't have this attitude, turn with me to James chapter 4, we don't have this attitude that, well, you know, next year I'll go do this or that. We don't know if we have another year. Come now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. For as you know not what shall be on the morrow. Now you underscore that in your Bible. There's a lot of things we know in life. There's a lot of things we know in life, and with technology and things that we're doing now, we know a lot more about medicine. We know a lot more about a number of disciplines in our life, but you don't know the future. And you can't say, well, today and tomorrow I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do that. You don't know that you have that time. God does, but you don't know that. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. That's how we ought to be talking. And then look at the second thing we need to be doing. But now you glory in your vauntings. All such glory is evil. To him, therefore, that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. There's two things you need to start doing if we're not doing it already. Number one, if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. And number two, I need to start doing now what I know that I need to be doing. And when I put it off, it's a sin. Before I die, I want to learn the vanity of life and how brief it really is. Come back with me to verse 7 of Psalm 39. David says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Before I die, I want to make the Lord my hope. At some point, we need to make the Lord our hope. And the sooner the better. People in life have their hope set on riches. Well, it's all about money and things and the latest technology and the newest iPhone and the clothes and the cars and the money. That doesn't need to be my hope. We live in our society has always been a materialistic society the whole time I've been growing up. It's always been on things because America is so prosperous materially. It's always on things. My hope does not need to be set, Paul says, 1 Timothy 6:17 and following, on the uncertainty of riches. My hope needs to be set on God. And what that means is, it's not just some ethereal mental thing. It means each day I trust God. I rely upon God. I do His will. He guides me. He exists. He's the one that I turn to for help, mental and physical help. That's what hope is. It's not just some, you know, nebulous mental thought. It comes out in daily living in who I really put my trust and confidence in. I put my confidence in the Bible over what I hear in social media. Let's have that as a goal before we die, that God is going to be our hope. You have conversations with people today and you realize what their hope is in. What their life revolves around. Well, my life revolves around my job. You can tell what is a focus in a person's life by just listening to a conversation for a little while. What do they talk about? Who do they talk about? At some point, do they ever talk about God and obeying God? Turn with me to Psalm 71 in verse 5. Psalm 71 in verse 5. The problem in our nation today is that people do not have God as their hope. They hope in themselves, they trust in themselves, they trust in money, they trust in things, they trust in human wisdom. That's our problem. Psalm 71:5, Thou art my hope, O Lord Jehovah. Thou art my trust from my youth. This is where it has to begin, parents and grandparents. It's got to start there. You can find an older person who will turn to God. That does happen from time to time. But if we don't start them when they're young, often they just do not have God as their hope. And that's why I'm glad to see, always glad to see, the young parents here with the babies and the children, because they're trying from their youth up to make the Lord their hope. You hope in man, you'll be disappointed. You hope in riches, you'll be disappointed. You hope in money, you'll be disappointed. You hope in things, you'll be disappointed in time. Let us have our hope set on God before we die. In 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there, we'll look at a couple of passages. 1 Peter 1, verse 21. Who through Him, Jesus, are believers in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory so that your faith and hope might be in God. Who is your faith and hope in this morning? It needs to be in God. And when we don't obey the gospel when we need to, our hope really isn't in God. We're just holding back a little. Don't quite trust Him completely. You got to give it over. You've got to give all of that over. And in chapter 3, in verse 5, for after this manner aforetime, this godly, inner, incorruptible, meek and quiet spirit, after this manner aforetime, the holy women also who hoped in God adorned themselves. That's what you want to put on, ladies and men. Men and women who hope in God, they're not focused on the outward, verses 3 and 4. It's being right with God and a right heart. That's the people who hope in God. Let's make that our goal before we die. Turn with me to Psalm 39 and verse 8. Let's read verses 8 through 11. David goes on to say, "Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb or silent. I opened not my mouth because thou did it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. When thou wilt with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity." David says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Before I die, I want to be forgiven of my sins. Is that you? Is that me? Well, I hadn't thought about that. We need to. Before I die, I want to be forgiven of my sins. You know, there are people who are going to see the Grand Canyon. That's their bucket list. And they've got all these really neat things to do. But when they die, they're going to have sin in their life. They didn't worry about that one. They didn't get that one fixed. Oh, but I saw the Grand Canyon. Well, that's not going to help you in the judgment day. But having our sins forgiven, we can stand before God as we sang in some of our songs this morning. Right with God, having been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And we're ready to stand before Him. Before I die, I want to be forgiven of my sins. And God makes a plan for that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1 and verse 77. In sending John the Baptist, his father offers up this song of praise that John would come and he'd be a prophet of the Most High, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord and make ready His ways to give knowledge of salvation unto His people in the remission of their sins. We have in the New Testament gospel the knowledge of salvation in the remission of our sins. And I got to get to reading my Bible and knowing my Bible so that I can be forgiven of my sins. Notice how knowledge is tied to remission of sins. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. When Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his household, speaking of Jesus, to him Jesus bare all the prophets witness that through His name everyone that believes on Him shall receive remission of sins. Now we've got knowledge tied to remission of sins. Now we've got belief tied to remission of sins. And if you turn to Luke 24 and verse 47, you'll find that repentance is tied to remission of sins, and then baptism is tied to remission of sins in Acts 2:38. I've got to know the Word of God, I've got to believe in Jesus Christ, I've got to repent of my sins, and I've got to be baptized for the remission of my sins. I want to do that before I die. David, under the old law, would have had things that he needed to do under this Old Testament sacrificial system to be delivered from his transgressions. For us today, it's repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. When we do that, verse 10, the stroke of God that is against us will be removed. The rebuke from God will be taken away. And we can stand before Him forgiven. And as a child of God who has erred in some way, 1 John 1, 7 through 9, if we will confess and pray and let that be earnest and honest, we will be forgiven as well. You know, there's so many people that don't care about this. They care about a job and about income and
marriage and family and a house and a car, and they, but we don't care about forgiveness of sins. And that's why Jesus came to die. So let's make sure that we have that one taken care of. We've checked this one off, and we've checked that one off, and we've got this one covered and that base covered, but did we get the one about forgiveness of sins? There may be someone in our life that we need to help talk to about making sure this one's covered before we die or before the Lord comes again. Turn with me to verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Jehovah, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner as all my fathers were. Before I die, I want my prayers to be heard. I want to be in a position with God where my prayers can be heard. 1 John 5:14. When I'm asking and praying according to His will, my prayers are heard. When I'm on praying terms as it is with God, when I'm in a right relationship with God, He hears my prayers. And the psalmist says in verse 12, I'm a stranger and a sojourner. I want God's help. As I'm sojourning through life, I want to be able to talk with God and get His help. You know, there are people that going through life, prayer is not on their radar. I've got this problem and I've got that problem, and they turn to everything but God. They turn to everything but prayer. They turn to everything but the Word of God. Sure, we're going through life, and sure, there are difficulties. Peter says that we're sojourners and pilgrims. He repeats that same idea, of course, but we're not alone. But we've got to be on praying terms with God. I told you before about people who want to live their life out in the world and they don't want to come and obey the gospel, but they've asked me, Chris, can you pray for me on this and pray for me on that? Which I'm perfectly happy to do that. And I do that. But what about them? Why aren't you praying to God? Why aren't you on praying terms with God? Well, I don't want to do all that I need to do to get to that point, but could you do it for me? Before I die, I want to get to the point where my prayers are heard. I'm living the way God wants me to live. I'm asking according to His will, and He grants those petitions. But I also want to get to the point where I'm... Look at verse 12. Give ear unto my cry. Have we ever really cried out to God? Have we really cried out? Crying out? At my tears? Am I shedding tears? I'm not just talking about losing a loved one. I'm talking about I'm struggling with a problem and I'm crying over it. I'm struggling with a heartache or a problem or a challenge, and I'm crying over it, and God is hearing me. Is that how much we rely upon God? The part of the stuff that people can't see, like in the privacy of your home, they can't see you doing that. We want to get to that point in our life where we have that much faith and trust and hope in God that we're following Him each and every day. That's how we're living in verse 12. And He's hearing us. And then last of all, look with me at verse 13. The American Standard says, O spare me that I may recover strength. I believe a little bit better way that there are two Hebrew words there. The first one is probably better, the idea of look away. And the second word is the idea of, as some versions have it, smile or be cheerful again.
The idea of looking away goes back to verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, where God was looking at a person in judgment, and He's going to judge them, and He's looking in that kind of a way, a rebuking way, a judging kind of way. So, look away from me that I may be cheerful again or smile again. In other words, before I die, I want to be happy. Oh man, so many people in life, big old frown on their face. I've heard since the pandemic, large numbers of young people are depressed and stressed out. The shutdowns did not help, either at work or at school. Other things going on. Large amounts of people are mentally depressed all over the world. Some of it is outside pressure. Some of it is sin in their own life. Some of it is trying to handle life's problems in the wrong way. Either way, they're having a hard time getting a smile on their face. Before we die, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to be happy. We need to fix the issues that we need to fix, and we need to smile. And God can help us to do that. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Why did Paul have to repeat that? He had just said it. Because it is so important, number one, to be happy. And number two, he may have known something at Philippi where they needed a little extra nudge on that part. Be happy. I'm telling you again, be happy. Earlier in the chapter, there may have been a couple of church members that needed to prodding to get along better. Maybe he knew about that or something else. But where does it take place? In the Lord. Before I die, I want to smile again. And brethren, that's our lesson. Do you have a spiritual bucket list? Well, I hadn't thought about that. Well, that's what our lesson this morning is about. Let's think about a spiritual bucket list. I'm going to learn the principle of self-control. You know, there are some things I would love to learn in life. Maybe you have some of those things. I'd love to learn a new language. I would love to learn music. I would love to learn this. Listen, those are great things. But one thing I really want to learn before I die is that I'm going to be in control of my tongue. And that's going to help me control my whole body. I want to learn how brief life really is. And act accordingly, not just some, life is not as long as I thought it was. Okay. No, not just some theoretical, interesting little point there, but I'm going to get a heart of wisdom and get up and act. Act quickly because my days are numbered. And we do have some who are elderly here, and we do have some who have made it up into their 80s and even longer. My father lasted until he was 94, and it's great that folks can last up into their old age, but that might not ever come for us. I hope it does, but it might not. And I'm going to have my hope set in the Lord. It's not going to be about power and fame and money and material things. My trust is in this. And who it came from, period. That's it. And my friends tell me a bunch of other stuff, and they tell me that I need to be thinking about this. I'm going to ignore all of that, and I'm going to put my hope and trust in the Lord, and I'm going to get my sins forgiven. ASAP. Because that is what's important. And if I have not done that yet and I've had those washed away in baptism, I'm going to get up today and do that. And as a child of God, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to start living a life where my prayers are heard. And that's how I focus on dealing with my problems. There may be some other things I need to do. I'm not disparaging that. But I'm going to start with God, His Word, and prayer. If I need something in addition to that, fine. But I'm going to start there. And that's how I'm going to sojourn through my life. And I'm going to smile again. And I'm not going to let the devil take that off my face. Somebody says, well, you know, the devil, he gets people, you know, out of heaven, from going to heaven by stuff like sexual immorality and, you know, alcohol. Yeah, he does. But he also uses just simple depression. If I can get you to be down and out, then I can get you away from God. But I'm not going to let him do that. And I'm going to go through my life with a smile on my face all the way to the end. What is your spiritual bucket list? What is my spiritual bucket list? I think it's great that people are thinking about things that they would like, always wanted to do. But let's make sure this morning that those spiritual kinds of things are on our life, on our radar, on our goal, on our focus. If we can help you to begin that this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?